Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there a member of your family who is the black sheep? Or maybe you're the black sheep. Almost every family has kidded about this. A black sheep is that individual within the family who's just a little different from the rest of the family. He or she strays from what the family might consider to be proper or the more desirable course in life. A black sheep kind of goes his or her own way instead of following in the family's expectations. Because of his or her dissimilarity to the rest of the family, a black sheep is also thought of as a bad sheep. But among real sheep, though there are sheep that are black in color, there really are no bad sheep. If I can be a little corny, sheep aren't bad. Sheep are just extremely helpless and completely dependent creatures that cannot take care of themselves and they cannot survive on their own. Look, sheep aren't malevolent, they're not malicious, they're not mean creatures, they're gentle. You will never see sheep stage a coup or plot against the shepherd. For example, you would never overhear this conversation, some dominant alpha sheep bossing the rest of the flock saying, "Okay, listen up, you mutton heads. This sheep shepherd isn't getting it done for us. We need greener pastures. It's time that we take matters into our own hands. So, Wooly, you distract the shepherd by causing the sheepdog to bark at something ahead of us. We'll double back while he's focused on the distraction. Remember, guys, timing is everything. Everyone needs to act quickly and follow my lead. This shepherd isn't too smart, but eventually he'll catch on. Okay, does everybody understand the plan? Just as the shepherd goes over the next rise, Wooly, you create the diversion and the rest of us will slip the shepherd." Sheep aren't capable of such discussions. They don't have tactical thoughts. They don't have leadership qualities. They never think about where they're going or why. Instead, they just sort of blindly follow in whatever direction the others are going. And because they're so oblivious to their surroundings, and they really have no sense of direction or awareness of danger, sheep often stray. Sheep stray easily and for many reasons. Sheep stray if they get hungry, if they get bored, if they're frightened, if they're curious or distracted. And without any capacity for rational reflection, sheep at times will literally follow other sheep over a sheer cliff to their deaths. My friends in Christ, we are sheep. As Christians, we have no intention of straying from the faith or falling into temptation. But we often can and do. For like sheep that stray, we too have the propensity to wander off and away from God. Jesus once looked out upon the multitudes and he pitied them. And he told his disciples they seemed lost and lacking spiritual direction. He commented that they were like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep that stray, Christians often find our minds wandering during sermons. We find our hearts straying from keeping God's commandments. And we find that during the week, we think less and less about God. At times, Christians stray like sheep. We stray from God. We stray from our spouses. We stray from our responsibilities. And we stray from the holy, purposeful lives that God intended for us. And so God didn't compare Christians to sheep by accident, but Christians really do have characteristics common to sheep. Christians are like sheep because sometimes we follow the Lord and at other times we stray. We're most like sheep when we hear the shepherd's voice and when we follow Jesus, happily dependent upon him to lead us to greener pastures. But when we lose sight of Christ in our lives, we suddenly become like lost sheep. We become like sheep without a shepherd. And this is what led Isaiah to say in our text, "We like sheep have gone astray. Each of us, each one of us, has turned to his own way." Sin has separated us from God. It is what creates that distance between us and God. And unlike sheep, we sinners do have the capacity for rational thought and rebellion, and we do rebel sometimes against God. And we challenge his authority to lead us and to guide us. We sometimes act as if God has abandoned us when we are really the ones who have strayed. So many times we blame God in times of our distress for not being there for us, but really we're the ones that turn away from God and go our own way. We all know the world has strayed extremely far from God's purpose and original plan for mankind. But we Christians stray too. How do you know when you're straying from the faith? Well, here are some sure signs that you are straying. You stop reading God's word. You find less and less time to pray. You begin missing church with more and more frequency. You rarely think about God during the week, and you certainly don't find time for God in your daily life. And you are less and less conflicted and convicted in your conscience whenever you sin. And you know, living in a secular society just makes matters worse. For just as sinners tend to keep God at bay and out of our private lives, secularism is determined to keep God out of public life. Instead of depending upon God and upon God's word, we're taught in our society to value individualism, personal autonomy. In other words, the sheep are now trying to shepherd themselves, and folks, it's just not working. Because in America these days, we prize our right to go our own way. We scatter when we pursue our own personal agendas instead of seeking guidance from the Lord. And so now more than ever, people are like sheep who love to stray. Now sheep, by the way, are directed mainly by their appetites. They have this gut instinct, you could call it, for lush grass. And that's what gets sheep into trouble. For sheep have only one real motivation, and that is to fill their fat bellies. And like sheep, we stray from God and from everything good when we are concerned only about filling ourselves and satisfying ourselves and feeding our appetite for the sinful pursuits and pleasures of this world. The Bible says there is a way that seems right instinctively to man, but that way leads to death. And so we must not follow those gut instincts of selfishly pleasing ourselves, but we must follow the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, as he addresses us in Scripture if we are going to survive spiritually. For like sheep, we have many natural predators. Sheep that stray from the shepherd's sight and from his voice are quickly hunted down and they're killed by things like wolves and lions and wild dogs. While Christians who stray from the faith are pursued by the devil and the world and our own sinful nature. Perhaps we Christians are the most like sheep when we blindly follow the secular, shallow, superficial assumptions of our culture without questioning them in light of the Bible. These assumptions can lead us far from Christ. For example, if you follow the postmodern pluralistic assumption that really one religion is as good as another, you will eventually forfeit salvation and you will lose a whole eternity of joy in heaven. For only those who believe in the God whose Son, the Lamb of God, had the sins of the world laid upon his shoulders will be spared and receive the life to come. You know, I guess the ancient people of the Old Testament had a little advantage over us here because sheep and shepherds were as common to them as cars and computers are to us. In ancient Israel's agrarian society, sheep were just an important part of their economy and their daily existence. And so when Isaiah declares, "All we like sheep have gone astray," aha, they would have made the connection. They would have understood Isaiah's meaning, where the prophet, speaking of Christ, says he would be led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before her shearers, so he did not open his mouth. For living around sheep, they knew that sheep were extremely passive creatures. While they were being shorn for their wool or whether they were being slaughtered for their meat, sheep offer no struggle when they're being shorn or slaughtered. They offer little passive resistance in such situations. And Isaiah's readers would have understood that likewise Christ was going to give himself over to death willingly, like a sheep being shorn or slaughtered. Christ would silently and passively allow all the horrific events of the cross to unfold upon himself and without complaint. You see, our Jesus was going to silently stand before his accusers, and without pleading for his life, he would be like that lamb who before its shearers is silent. During the scourging, during the cruel mocking, Christ would be like that sheep, shorn and stripped of his honor. And yet he would not complain because that was his mission. He had come into our world for this very purpose, to die in your place, so that he offered no resistance. Instead, the Lamb of God passively allows himself to be killed so that the Lord could lay on him our iniquities. And so with all the passivity of a lamb led to slaughter, Jesus would be led to the cross and nailed to it without complaining. Sheep also played a huge role in the religious rites of Israel. Any Jew knew the religious significance of young sheep or lambs as they were required and offered for sacrifices. Any Israelite knew that a lamb had to be killed and cooked and eaten, for instance, at the Passover by every household. They also knew at the first Passover how the blood of a slain lamb was splashed over the doors and windows of every house like red paint, and how God's avenging angel saw this and he passed over and he spared the inhabitants of the house and those inside when that house was marked by the blood of that lamb. And my friends in Christ, in the same way, the blood of Christ now marks your door, the door of your heart, so that death passes over you, and you are spared judgment, and you are saved by God. Old Testament believers understood how it had to be a choice, pure, white, woolly lamb without any deformity or defect to it, selected to be that suitable offering for atonement for the sins of the people. They understood how that lamb had to be slaughtered and its blood sprinkled upon the people and upon the atonement seat inside the holiest place in the presence of God within the temple. And all of these sacrifices foreshadowed the death of Christ, whose blood sprinkles our hearts and purifies us from sin, so that you and I can stand blameless and holy in the very presence of God in heaven. Yeah, I suppose readers back in Isaiah's days might have got the point a little easier than we do, for they had witnessed firsthand sheep being slaughtered for religious use in the temple. While we are like sheep who stray from our responsibilities to God, Christ would step forth without complaint to assume those responsibilities and to suffer for us, his flock. On the day of the atonement, the high priest would ceremonially lay his hands on a young lamb or goat, and by this action, he would transfer the sins of the people onto that animal in an act of religious substitution. And then that young animal would be chased off into the desert to die in isolation, carrying the sins of the people as if out of God's sight. This is what Isaiah is talking about. He is comparing Christ to that substitutionary sheep, that scapegoat, when he says, "All we like sheep have gone astray, but the Lord has placed his hands on that lamb and laid on him the iniquities of us all." All of your sins rest on Christ. All of your sins find resolution in the blood-bought sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We were the ones who strayed from God, and yet Jesus was the one God abandoned. Jesus was the one chased off into death. God laid our sins upon his Son and then isolated him in this time of suffering so that he could welcome us, his sheep who loved to stray, so he could welcome us back. And not just once, but again and again and again, and as often as we sin. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds to life everlasting. Amen.